like for instance, like IQ, they gather material, you know, kind of pick their team members that they start recruiting. The IQ, I can't tell you for sure if they've had any practices before the season was canceled, but it was up in the air whether the season was going to be canceled or not. So I can't tell you if they had any practices. They did have the prep work put in. They had set up the room across from Mrs. Retz's room, Mr. Manny's old science room. They had set that up, you know, in getting ready to practice for IQ, you know. So they've done some things. I can't guarantee that they had any official practices, though. So.
Yeah, we did sign.
We did the other one.
And we did sign contracts with these people already, right?
Yes, but that doesn't
No,
I know.
Block you into anything if the season is canceled.
No, but this one wasn't one that we paid last year for. They had their program last
year. There was a season
last year.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, they're, you know, and I know they get compensated, but
not
a lot of these people have time in to this stuff.
Yep.
And I understand the situation this year is completely different than any other year we've ever had. And I'm just thinking, you know, if we want these people to come back, we were going to pay them anyway. You know, and I realize they might not be put, but I believe, you know, what, even the football team got quarantined for about 2 weeks.
Longer.
And
several times.
The coaches were paid, right?
Pardon?
The coaches were not prorated. They were paid their full pay. You know, and I want these people to do this.
Well, and with HiQ, there's a lot of background work that nobody sees that anybody's done. So, I mean, it's not hard to believe that there wasn't already a lot of work put into it.
You know, I understand a lot of people say, well, if you don't work for it, you don't get paid for it. But this was budgeted for. And that's my opinion. You know, I think these people are going to be back next year again, hopefully. I'm just, my opinion is to pay their contract and, you know, and maybe they can do something with the kids anyway. I don't know. You know, I don't know if there's anything possible that they could have some, you know, maybe some short classes or something on sportsmanship or whatever they want to do or, you know.
That's a possibility. Maybe you
could something, I don't know.
And they are
some practices and some
something.
Prep for next year or something.
Yeah, something.
They have made towards they've been doing more of the Quiz Bowl competition as the years have, you know, in the last couple of years. They are still looking at the possibility of being able to compete in a couple of events virtually in the competition. So they are still looking at that, yeah, but the IQ season is officially canceled. But I will say that Jim and, well, it's more Julie with the Quiz Bowl stuff, but Jim does help her with that as well. Now they will be doing, trying to do some of that,
All right, anything further on this? Moving on, cross-country skiing.
Mr. Schramm has a request. It's just sort of a club, the cross-country skiing kids opportunity outside of the school day and on weekends and that sort of thing.
So we had gotten some questions from kids and parents so far this year asking if we were going to be able to ski this year. Obviously, our answer is, well, we're not sure, but we said we'd ask, see what we can do. So I talked to Mr. Mann about it. I got the nurse's input. I explained what we would do following social distancing rules, mask, how we, you know, hand procedures and what we typically do. And her primary concern was transportation itself. So one of her suggestions or recommendations was, well, it might be a good idea if everybody can transport themselves or if parents can transport children or their students. So that was one viable option that was discussed. So we're trying in some attempt to try and get those kids to be able to ski in some fashion. So we're trying to kind of brainstorm a little bit and see if we can do try and ski a little bit this year.
How many kids are you looking at about? How many were in the club last year?
There's probably between 12 and 14, give or take, depending on that. It's not, you know, we don't have to practice this kind of, and your choice when you can make it, when you have other commitments. It's weekends, so it varied, but.
I guess the problem I have with it is I don't like anything we do that's with the school that the kids drive to. Number one, if your kid has a license, are they only going to bring themselves? We're driving them in the worst weather of the year. I don't understand why we can't take any. Last year you took them on the bus that you drove, right?
No, for the ski group for weekends. We did for a field trip one day.
Okay.
But we don't really take the van.
And so we've got three vans. You could split it up in that. I don't like saying, okay, you can just take your cars.
Is this a school sponsored?
It's a school club.
There's really no cost. We have equipment. The kids use the equipment.
I guess that's a liability.
Yeah.
There's really no difference in terms of liability for this than there is having the kids drive to school in their own car. It's covered.
So what difference is this then if a kid wants to drive, say, to cross country or to a basketball game? They can't do that.
But those are actual sports. That's more of an athletic department decision that if you're going to go, you go with the team. Kind of thing. They are allowed to go home parents after.
Oh, so yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying, I'm just not for the kids driving themselves.
My question, Nick, is you had how many events last year?
Oh, we had quite a few, actually. We tried to go once, twice a week.
Twice a week. So in those events, did you take the van and all the kids, or did kids drive to the event?
No, we took each coach or chaperone. We drive one of the three vans, depending on how many kids we have. So we take two or three at a time and drive them.
Why didn't that?
So I guess what's the difference between this and like the wrestling?
Yeah, I don't get it.
We survived transportation for cross country, and I transported sometimes 26 kids.
My only question is, why do we have the standard of them having to drive their own vehicles versus ride in?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I mean, we're piling the football team in a bus.
Yep.
We're piling the basketball team in a bus.
That's what I said.
How is it that this cross country ski club all of a sudden gets segregated for standard? And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just want to know the rationale. I know,
but
we're setting a double standard.
And it isn't necessarily that there's a double standard.
Okay.
It's not a sort of a regimented on the contract sport, if you will, right? So it doesn't have, there's no UIA, anything to go with it or go by. It's just, it's distinct in that way.
Yep.
But if the board is okay with them using the van to do this?
I think it should.
I like the young basketball group.
That's fine.
They were outside.
Yeah, I don't want to. In the worst time of the year.
They
could take them in a bus.
Parent driven.
I mean, would this be considered a Fund 11?
It doesn't have a Fund 11. There really is no cost to the district for this, other than if they were transporting
the gas.
School vehicles. That's it.
Because we've got all the skis donated. I just think we're better off using vans.
No, and that's fine.
Are
you opposed to the vans then?
No.
No. Okay. That.
So is there any other discussion on this?
That's fine. Cheerleaders are a school group. As long as it's a school group and it's a school sanctioned type of thing, which this would be, liability wise, it's covered.
Alright, anything else on this subject? Alright, moving on. Changed individual requirements for those students newly choosing and or remaining in a virtual education model next semester.
I will have Mr. Ballman address this. You can to some extent as well, Mrs. Robinson. You know, there has been some significant issues with students not attending, not signing in, not doing the work virtually. And we're really looking at sort of creative ways here to, I guess, ensure some compliance with attendance and doing the work. And Mr. Ballman and his staff kind of put together some suggestions and things that we're looking to do. Not necessarily the board to say, yes, you should do this or not do this. This is more of kind of letting you know administratively, this is what we're going to do to try and attack a problem that we're having with some of the students who have chose virtual or want to choose the second semester.
At the high school, we've talked and talked about the difficulties we've had reaching a lot of students and a lot of parents. Because unfortunately a fairly large segment of our virtual population has chosen virtual so they could work more of this, so they could simply game and do a lot of other things besides do their schooling. I mean, the teachers are getting very frustrated with, we're having a very difficult time because there's not a ton of accountability other than, I'll be talking about the attendance portion here in a second, but I've spent 75% of my week calling parents and talking about truancy issues, and in fact, a couple of truancy tickets issued last week. And that has gotten some attention of some parents. But I don't want that to be the only way that we hold students accountable. It's just I didn't want to bog you down with stats, but at the end of our quarter, 2 weeks ago, the F list was a little bit bigger, actually not as many. I thought it would be even a lot bigger than what it was. It was a little bigger than normal, but the glaring difference this year compared to any other year previous was the simple fact that the F's are much worse. And you can say, well, how can an F be worse? Well, we'd have a lot of kids getting 50s and 55s as F's. That gave them a very legitimate chance to still pass the semester, because really the quarter grades don't matter for a whole lot other than for sports, your extracurriculars. You know, your semester grades are the ones that end up on your transcripts, things like kids had realistic shots because teachers were monitoring. Now we don't have that constant supervision of students. We had one student in citizenship, which you need to graduate. One student scored a 0.7% for first quarter.
We've had virtual students.
We had one student got a 2% in a class. We had multiple kids getting percentages of less than 10 or 15%. And it basically doesn't ensure it. You could still pass, but your odds of passing for the semester are very slim when you get percentages like that for first quarter. And the two stats I wanted to read you, of the F, the virtual kids comprise 23% of our student population. They accounted for 77% of the F's. So one of our students accounted for 3/4 of the F's, more than 3/4. Attendance-wise, I have right now 36 kids with more than 50 hours of absence in the month of March. I've already written out more attendance letters this year already in 2 months of school than the entire year, any other year possible. And I'm not even getting my attendance policy that is dropped.
We don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I've never.
You win some, you lose some.
Answer calls of my daughter staying home for female issues, or my son is staying home for a mental health day, or helping in the yard, and those are the excuses I get now. Exam policy. But anyway, of the 36 kids.
You could lose your job. You better bear spend all your life. Come on.
Of the 36 kids that have 50 or more absences, which is an ungodly, 28 of them are virtual students. As a staff, we talk, and what we've come up with, because of the difficulties of making students go online time or even part-time checking with their classes in a rural area, what we're proposing here now and what we'd like to move forward with is the fact that whether we would start it tomorrow or logically we would start this when we return from break, students during second quarter, in order to continue virtual schooling second semester, we would like them to have an 80% attendance rate at least, which is actually not a great attendance rate, but it would be better than what most of them have. And we would like them to not have any effort to continue virtual schooling. Obviously, with a doctor's note, that would still trump what we're asking. I mean, if they have a doctor's note, there's nothing we can do. We would like the students to have to pass every single class during second quarter in order to continue virtual schooling. And the, like I said, 80% attendance.
What attendance, Jeff, is that, okay, if I have algebra at 10 o'clock, does that mean they have to be there at 10?
No.
Or they have to log into algebra at some point during the day, correct?
They have to log into algebra at some point during the day.
So that's what I was going to say. We can virtually say that they have to come back into school.
We can.
Okay, that I wasn't sure if we could or not.
If they have a medical reason why they can't,
yeah. But we can require them to come back.
There's a family concern about just COVID in general, not saying it's legitimate or not, but that if that's a deep concern,
then they should be able to do the work.
To me, you have to respect that family concern just as much as we were in
the way I like to look at it is, you are not, we are not, by changing this, taking away choice from anyone. Pass your classes and attend. That's it. That, and if you can do that, and everyone should be able to do that at 80% attendance level, simply by logging into your classes and passing your classes. It's not difficult to the point where kids can't pass these classes.
I'm
just talking about ourselves.
I'm talking kind of about the question that came up when we first looked at virtual schooling, which is giving people the choice whether to go virtual or not, for their family reasons, whatever that may be, and now changing that to saying we're going to dictate what we want. We have trouble doing it instead of maybe saying, you know, hey,
I don't think you're changing it as much as you're adding parameters to it. You're saying, you know, to all intents and purposes, this is not working right now.
For a lot of
a large portion of the students, this is not working right now.
And
it's more of a lack of effort and discipline than it is a poor system. So now the school has to enforce some way to get discipline and effort in it, and it's more or less like extracurriculars. Once you pass, and you're there 80% of the time, you can stay virtual. So I don't think that's unreasonable.
You still have the choice. Absolutely have the choice.
But you just have to
have to pass and attend at 80%. And you still have the choice.
You could still choose to not pass and attend at 10% and walk. That's still a choice.
But you're choosing to not be virtual.
Yeah,
along with that choice comes that.
Just a question, Jeff. We know there's probably some kids, they would virtually, or they'd get an F if they were in school. You know, there's some cases, I think, maybe, you know, kid doesn't get it or whatever, and they would get an F if they were at home on virtual. They might be, you know, 80% in school online, and they might still get an F if they're sitting in the classroom.
I just interject that if you get an F, it's because you're choosing to get an F. There is enough support, whether it's for a CELUS, whether it's you're in person. If you want to pass your classes, teachers will work with you to pass your classes. We will work with you to pass your classes. If you fail, it's because you made a conscious decision, I am not going to do this. Whether I'm here, online, I am simply not going to do the work, any of them,
okay,
to fail.
I just wanted to know how things were going to work. You know, and I'm not against your policy. That's definitely.
No, and I understand it, but I guess I would say, you know, we have 73% of our kids in school, of the population are in school. And when they're in school, there's only 23%, they only account for 23% of the F's. Are there some F's? There are. But I would also counter just by saying we were not, until a few weeks before we opened up, we weren't going to offer a virtual option. I mean, it's not something that's required. We don't have to offer a virtual option. And we did, and now we're saying, you know, it has not worked out well. It's been the worst 2 months I've ever had as part of this school. It's been horrific. It's terrible. I have parents who won't even call me until they get a truancy ticket mailed to their door. They'll just completely ignore me.
But that's that aspect of it.
What's that?
That's that aspect of it. But for when we had to shut down for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
or like my granddaughters were just quarantined for a month, mm-hmm. you know, they can sit at home and they don't lose a beat. I thought that was wonderful. You know. But is there no other way? Like, the state requires them, and you said you do truancy tickets. What happens after that? What happens with that?
Technically, I mean, if we really wanted to stick by the letter of the law, every day that they're absent after their first truancy ticket, there would be another truancy ticket. And it's $174 for the kid, $178 for the kid, and $204 for the parent. And that's every. I know Judge Pats last year ended up fining a family over $3,000. And if they didn't, they said they're not going to pay it. He said it's coming out of your tax refunds, everything else.
But you know, that is CELUS. What they have to do at home is not like they have to spend the whole 8 hours of the day.
Correct.
You can get through that in a couple of hours, every class.
My stepson dearly, he made honor roll for the first time in
yep.
his entire life this year. And
it's not difficult.
Once I had something to contribute here.
From a teaching standpoint, I've seen both directions of this. We had a student who left because we had some concern. The day he left, he stopped doing work. Zero. He has come back and has done more in 5 days
yep.
than he did in the entire time he was gone. Those students are students that
should not be.
There's some things for. There are also students with Mr. Baldwin, I'm sure as you may discover over time here, that know the game. They log in, they're in, which is why you have to pass that 80% of attendance and passing rate, because I had a student last quarter that got a 1%, but he logged in every single day because I had 3 times a week to him and his family. What are you doing? So they're playing the system, and we
yeah.
all know sure.
Oh, for sure.
That are working full-time jobs and are getting paychecks but are failing class. Well, that's a choice they make.
That's not good.
It's a workflow thing that you can see both sides of. Shelves is a great transition.
Kids
are
going out for the
school and
the
cafeteria. But they're figuring out how
to make us all the trends in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No reason otherwise.
No.
A bunch. Right now, it's a class of 42, and we have about 10 seniors right now.
Jeez.
25%.
Unless there is no reason
that they have to. I would love it.
What's
that? I'd be for
that. I said, would we, so should we end up offering the virtual option? Should we not offer it and just have it as the backup if people are born?
Well, I'll be honest, I had this discussion with one board member this week at some point, but I would almost be in favor of offering CELSA's credit recovery and bringing kids in back to school.
And make them sit.
Unless they have something from a doctor or unless there's a family member that's at high risk, bring them in and for, you know, we're not performing.
Well, then that's the, I guess, the point I was trying to bring up is what we're saying is if we do what Mr. Baldwin's asking, we leave out that family concern. If grandma lives with them and they don't want their child to be here, whether he's failing or not,
they'll still play the system.
They still play the system, but that's beyond our control. I mean, I don't, there's only kind of, and to me, there's only kind of, we either offer the virtual option and then we have to respect what the families actually choose, or we don't offer it other than the fact that we put it out there because we have this COVID situation. This situation, we have to make allowances for people when they're quarantined or staying at home.
And that's a fair way to look at it. I just remind the board that the rules that you put in place for the game of what we're doing at the beginning of the year was that there was a virtual choice, right? I hate to say opposed, but I'm not a fan of now taking that away mid-year. This, to me, is sort of a fair compromise.
Yeah.
You want to choose virtual. We're giving you a quarter now. We're going to change how that choice is available to you. You have a quarter with your child. We'll work with your child if this is what you want to do. You have a quarter to make sure that they attend at 80%, and you have a quarter to make sure that they're passing all their classes. If they do all of that, great, right? We want you to have that option. As long as you maintain passing and 80% attendance, you can stay virtual during this pandemic, right? If not, they're back here. Or they don't get the choice, right? That to me seems like you're not completely blowing up the choice that you gave everybody.
Because
at the
we did
of the
say
year.
The next semester we could
Since
change
we're making,
it.
We're making the student and the parent responsible.
Yep.
For this.
I think this is a good option.
And I guess I'm just oh, the last thing I'd share on that would be. If you have that big of a family concern,
that's
really going to impress upon your child. This is a big deal. You've got to pass your classes. Yep. You've got to attend your classes.
25% of our seniors are in jeopardy of not passing. Obviously, they're not getting the message. Like, we're not even talking about, like, 25% of them are not going to graduate.
Right. Kids that had 3.4, 3.5 GPAs that are...
And to me, I think the only way to success is
I think, Mr. Bauman's... Just my opinion, your number of 80% is a little low.
Probably.
I think we should put the pressure on these kids. They could be 100%. What is it to log into a computer?
Don't get lost in one thing that we did first quarter. We're talking about doing this for
the next quarter.
Right.
We can go in the semester and say, okay, it worked.
Pulling it.
Kids are back on track. Or we can go in the semester and say, okay, this isn't working. We're going to strictly use ourselves as credit recovery, and we're going to go back to in-person classes, period.
It will be very obvious statistically by second semester how many kids are able to go into it or stay in it.
So at this point, is this something that the board we need to make?
No. This is more correct. We want to share with the board and just get some thought.
Mr. Bauman, with that many students failing and jeopardy of possibly not graduating, are you coming up with that we have spent the money on ourselves this year? Are you doing anything to make it possible for them for credit recovery to get them back high what they've already failed at and try to up our graduation rate?
Yeah.
Do you have a plan for that?
Well, we have, more individualized plans just because there's so many different kids in different situations. We don't have a plan that fits every single senior.
But it's something that you and your staff are committed to working on.
Yes, we have our student engagement, student performance committee. For instance, we have one student in particular. It's not a senior, it's a junior, but we are, we were back today, I was too busy calling about truancy to find out what the verdict was with the kid. But he's a kid who has no chance to pass a number of his classes, so we are offering him the chance to take an extra Acellus class, give at least one credit back, that credit, and continue hopefully on his other classes. We have a couple kids now that have gone the alternative route senior-wise that just have no chance at this point. And that'll help the attendance rate. It's not gonna boost it as much as the regular diploma would. But yeah, individually we're trying to work it. We've gotten, actually as of this week now, I had a mom commit to her two sons coming back, who both sons have 7 Fs right now. And are both at truancy level. Come back on Monday after vacation. I got one back yesterday that had a truancy ticket delivered. I got another one, the mom who wouldn't call me. At least we're in communication now. It's an individual thing. We don't have a blanket.
But we're gonna do what we can to get that right up. And
I just
make sure.
Have a question. You'll know by our next board meeting if this is working or not in some ways, correct?
Well,
you'll know if the attendance improves. You'll know if their grades are improving.
We have,
right?
Don't forget we have the rest of this week, and then we have next off. We have to get it out there.
There won't be a lot of data by the next
meeting. Not the next board meeting, but the next one after that.
Well, I know the reason I'm asking is because if, let's just say, it doesn't work, right, and we're going to take away the virtual option, wouldn't they be better off knowing that it's a possibility now than finding out in January when your virtual option is gone at the end of January? Okay, I think that...
Well, the hard part of doing that is you're then saying to the whole student body, their parents, the whole group, if you do X, Y, and Z, you can keep your virtual option, right? And so you're in a sense, from those individuals, you're taking away, even if they're successful, like I attended, I was here 100% of the time, I got all my classes, and now because these other kids didn't, you're telling me in January, no, I can't. Right? So if you say now, then that's going to disincentivize
them. But
otherwise,
we're going to tell them a week before their option's gone. January.
If the board...
Well, it would be a decision.
We're going to make that decision.
The January meeting is 2 days
before semester.
The week of second semester.
Yep.
See, it has by default, right? By default, if we do what we're advocating doing, if it doesn't work, those kids are going to be back here. They have to. It's not a choice of that. Be here. They'll be attending.
The ones that are failing.
Yeah, the ones that are failing or not attending, they'll have to come back. The ones who are attending and are successful, they're not an issue. So that's, I guess that's one way to look at it. If it doesn't work, those kids will be attending in person.
Mr. Myers, what's up?
I apologize for interrupting or being involved here, but from a teaching standpoint, if the board looks at dropping a virtual option themselves, then in consequently dropping itself for us to teach in-person classes, you're either going to have to tell us later than 2 days before the semester's up so people can prepare.
No.
They're not advocating for that.
They're just going to drop us being home.
If you're going to drop the...
No.
No.
That's a decision that we'll make moving forward, and I guess we're going to have to ask you to give your best effort, whatever we decide.
But there wasn't any talk here about dropping itself.
No, just the outdoor one, outside.
So it's still in the classroom, because then if you have to close down, it's still there.
We committed for a year to use the Adela program.
Yes.
But here's the other thing. If the majority of the kids are in class, right, and that virtual option is gone and they're only the exceptions are out, then it's a lot easier for teachers to do the additional teaching in class implementation of a SELUS, as opposed to right now where, you know, half of them are out, half of them are in, and, you know, they might even have some classes where they have no kids virtual.
It's not half, and it would be whether you have 10 kids virtual or you have 5 kids virtual, you're doing the same supplementing. It's just you're doing it with more in the classroom versus more out. It's the same supplementing, it's just with a different number of kids.
I don't think that. I'm just saying that my perception was
no.
That if I'm using supplement stuff and then you're just going to use that as credit recovery, then I guess from my own personal perspective, I want to know that that's going to happen and then prepare for that.
There would have to be a lot more lead time. That's the agreed. If that were available.
This policy that Mr. Bowen has kind of put forward, discussed it with my staff too, and it's something that we would like to implement starting like seventh grade, seventh and eighth grade at the elementary, middle school, the 4 grades. I mean, they don't, the pass fail, they don't even start with letter grades until 4th grade. And we've, it's been easier to engage those students at the lower grades. So we find it more, you know, kind of like what Mr. Bowman is finding with the distance really is more at the middle school. So
what are your numbers?
What are our numbers?
For 7th and 8th grade.
For numbers of the students. With that, it's a little more than a handful.
Okay.
I probably 7 to 8 different students that I have.
But not to stand.
Not to okay. The, I mean, but it's only 2 grades and it, yeah. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's a funny time. They're still more under parent control, more under, you know, that the parents are looking over again, and a lot of them do still have, you know, younger siblings and stuff, so I feel like parents look over a lot more. They're not deceiving their parents. They're not out there working 40 hours a week, you know, in the middle school. So there are some, don't get me wrong, there definitely are, and there are some that are, you know, as bad, like just haven't done a single thing in a single class for 3 weeks. One that I looked at earlier was Monday when I was on the phone. That in the first 2 weeks of second quarter have done 2 assignments in history class. I mean, in Acellus, 2 Acellus lessons in history class in 2 weeks. We have those, but it's a fewer number of those that are extremely disconnected. There's some that are a little bit behind here and there, but again, a lot of them at, you know, partway through third quarter with the guidance counselors and myself contacting families, we got a lot of them back. That's, this isn't working. It's not working the way it is. Some of them won't contact until the high school has a truancy for the older brother, or they have a health concern, and you know, we're still trying to get them, and it's a fewer number that are that completely disengaged. So that's, but we're still looking at something like seventh and eighth grade, and then the high school.
Are we good on this?
Yep.
Ready to move on? All right, moving on. Item scheduled for action: appointments. Substitute paraprofessional.
Irene Bauer, Miranda Carbon, Nancy Dahleen, and Penny Kemke Cole are recommended for approval as substitute paraprofessionals.
I make that motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Second by Kayla. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Sports volunteer coaches.
Victoria Chapman, Melissa Opperman, Bailey Bovey Hansen, and Tracy Doyle for approval as volunteer coaches.
Motion by Amy.
Not volunteer coaches, volunteers and coaches.
Motion by Amy.
I second.
Chris, any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Extracurricular coaching and slash advising positions.
Board may take any action related to the coaching advising positions discussed earlier in the meeting.
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to pay the coaching and advising positions as per their contracts.
Motion by Lyle. Do we have a second?
Second.
Michaela, any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Cross-country skiing.
Board to take action related to the cross-country skiing, which was discussed earlier in the meeting.
I make the motion that we approve the cross-country skiing with them doing the transportation, not the students driving.
So using the van?
Using the school vans.
Okay. Motion by Chris, second by Amy. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Changes to individual requirements for those students newly choosing or remaining in virtual education model for the second semester.
There really isn't any need for action there. That was more of an informational item, but it was put on action just in case.
Okay. Future agenda items. All right. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kayla. Amy, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Good meeting, everyone. We're adjourned.